On the third day, Mildred came to the area where the tree felling was taking place to check on the progress for Sunita. She was accompanied by Marcos.
There really isn't any need for you to escort me like this, Marcos. I can look after myself, you know.
I would not suggest that you are like the rabbit caught in the snake's gaze. I would more likely compare you to the snake.
Shit, thanks.
Once more, you misunderstand my intent. I would almost believe that you purposely misconstrue my words to more easily take offense.
Lighten up, Marcos. I was being funny.
I am not good at being funny, as you put it.
I had noticed.
A genuine smile crossed the sec chief's face.
There. That's better. But it's true. I can look after myself.
I realize this. But factions against you may not. My presence may make them think twice about attacking you. Or at the very least, I can lend another pair of eyes to watch your back.
You really think someone may try to chill me?
You are an outsider who promotes change. We are going to where most of the workers have been consigned because they oppose change. You figure it out.
Goddamn crabs in a barrel.
What was that?
Nothing. Well, okay. By the way, for someone who isn't funny, that was close. But you didn't want change, and I don't have to fear you. Do I?
I accept the inevitability of change and the tide of history as it ebbs and flows.
That still doesn't answer my question.
I repeat, you figure it out. But we are almost there.
They rounded a bend in the path and came upon the edge of the work party, who stopped when they saw Mildred approach. Among the workers in this section were the six companions and Elias. The dark giant stiffened on seeing the sec boss approach.
Your posture would suggest you have a problem, and quite a large one, with our friend Marcos.
You know him, and his brother. If you wish confirmation of my opinion, just ask Jack.
Millie, good to see you here. It's been a while. We wondered what was going on.
I've been busy. There's a lot to do.
Plans going well for the evacuation?
Well,
I think that is a question that should not be answered here. Perhaps later.
Yeah, perhaps you're right.
When later? We're billeted here while you're with the Baron's daughter. So what happens when we get over to the mainland, eh?
I can't even think that far ahead.
Well, isn't that interesting?
Leave it, JB.
Christy moved across to JB and took his arm.
We can talk about this later. Right now we've got work to do, and I'm sure Mildred has too.
The redhead shot Mildred a questioning look before leading the armorer away.
Yeah, maybe we should talk about this after we get across to the mainland. Seems to me that you've got some decisions to make.
Yeah, maybe I have. Marcos, we should get on. Sunita wants to know how the whole operation is going.
Mildred turned away to follow the sec boss through the clearing to the next sector of the felling operation. She didn't see Dean follow until she felt his hand.
Whoa, easy!
Sorry, Dean. You just surprised me.
It's okay. Look, I just wanted to say that, well, I guess the others just haven't thought of it, but this island? Well, I just figure that maybe you don't feel so lonely anymore.
Lonely?
Yeah. Maybe that's not what I mean. I don't know. Maybe I mean more like, well, you don't feel so alone.
Yeah, I think I see what you mean. You might be right. But in some ways, I'd be alone without you guys.
Dean shrugged, then looked past her to where Marcos was waiting impatiently.
The Marcos guy is waiting, and he's not happy about it. But I just wanted to say it, that's all.
Mildred grasped Dean's arm.
Okay, thanks.
She returned to the sec chief.
What was that about?
Nothing to concern you. Let's get on with this.
They moved away through the trees, and the sec boss turned to Mildred to say something, but then froze. Mildred stopped dead.
What?
He cut her short with a gesture, indicating that she stay quiet and wait. He moved sideways from the path and into the denser growth of trees. Mildred was suddenly very aware that she was alone in the woodlands and unarmed. Since working with Sunita, she had taken to not carrying her checkmate ZKR, which was stored safely in the home of the leader's daughter. Mildred scanned the terrain around and listened intently. There were the sounds of the work parties, but little else she could distinguish. No, to the left of her she could hear someone coming through the trees. She fell into a combat stance, crouching to prepare herself for an oncoming attack. She almost laughed when Marcos appeared out of the trees, when she saw the expression of surprise on his face when he took in her defensive stance.
I thought I heard someone follow, stealthy like a true stalker, but still clumsy enough to trip some roots and move the undergrowth.
But who? What the hell?
Mildred and Marcos moved as one. Both were able to pinpoint the direction of the cry, and both ran toward it. Marcos had his H&K drawn and ready for any attack. The cry had come from where they had just left. Mildred was apprehensive. Was that one of her friends? She hadn't recognized the voice that screamed, but it had been distorted by pain. Marcos and Mildred burst into a clearing to find one of the Piloten workers back against a tree as though resting, that initial impression belied by the pool of blood in which he sat and the spray of crimson that spread in front of him. Marcos held out his arm across her to keep Mildred in cover at the edge of the clearing, scanning the area for the attacker, but Mildred pushed past him to reach the afflicted man. Crouching in front of him, she could see by his blank eyes that he was already dead, a nasty wound in his throat. It had been expertly sliced, right through cartilage and artery to the vertebrae, which showed through as Mildred tilted the head. His lifeblood had pumped through the gaping wound in less time than it took them to locate and run to the sound of his scream. It was then that the weapon caught Mildred's eye. A leaf-bladed throwing knife had been embedded in the tree to one side of the corpse's head.
Jack!
Stay there and don't move.
Mildred turned sharply to see who had arrived on the scene. It was Ryan and Jack, with Elias close behind. Marcos narrowed his eyes.
You're here quickly. You don't work near here.
Don't be a fool, Marcos. We heard the scream and are just the quickest. The brother is dead?
Throat sliced clean through.
I see no axe. The murderer must still have...
This was no axe. Far too clean. Besides...
Mildred pulled the leaf-bladed knife from the tree and held it out. She looked cold and hard into Jack's eyes as she revealed the weapon. The albino returned her gaze with an equal iciness. Was he masking guilt or expressing disgust at the implied accusation? Mildred couldn't tell.
I have seen no workmanship of this kind here.
Marcos took the knife and examined it carefully. He kept his voice low as the clearing was now ringed by several workers from nearby, including the rest of the companions and some Pilatans who had responded to the cry of agony.
You wouldn't.
Marcos followed her eyes and fixed his gaze on Jack.
Now just wait a minute, Mildred. Think about this.
No need, think. Lost 2-3 knives when we were taken. One of those.
And someone found it in the undergrowth on the other side of the island and brought it over here to do this?
Jack looked around him, aware of the sudden swell of voices. The Pilatans, not well disposed to the companions in any case, had turned hostile in a matter of moments. The other companions moved close around Jack, their body language subtly changing as they tensed for an attack.
Wait a minute, everybody!
Elias stepped into the clearing, turning to look at the gathered islanders. He turned back to Marcos and Mildred, a look of contempt clouding his visage.
You really would condemn this man without thinking? Even you, sister, who are supposed to be his friend?
The knife?
No, that proves nothing. You would not believe Jack's friends, I know. But would you also accuse me of lying?
What do you mean?
I mean I was with the Pale Ones from the time that you both left until this poor unfortunate screamed. Jack could not have used the knife, nor any of his friends for that matter, as they were in my sight the whole time. You will have to look elsewhere for your sacrificial lamb, my friend.
What the hell have things come to if Mildred doesn't even trust us?
The companions had returned to work, but the trees were the last things on their minds.
Not her fault.
Jack's right. It was made to look like Jack. You have some serious enemies. Clearly ones who will go to the length of taking a discarded weapon and using it to incriminate you.
That's what worries me. If you hadn't been able to vouch for Jack's whereabouts back there, I figure we would have had one hell of a fight on our hands. They wanted to lynch us.
Yeah, and in a way, I don't blame them. That would have been a pretty good argument against their going to the mainland if we were the example of what it's like.
True, dear girl. And surely our priority should be to find whoever is responsible for such actions, lest the situation be allowed to worsen.
It is easier to say than to do. After all, many of the work parties are separated from each other. and it is easy to move about undetected in these woods. Come to that. Do we know that Mildred and Marcos had each other in sight the whole time?